What's in store for your business this week at Staples?
A banner year for your company.
Staples wants to help your business achieve big things with 20% back in rewards on your color printing.
Trust the pros at Staples to print whatever your business needs, like color presentations, brochures, and banners.
Prepare yourself for a banner year and banner savings
with 20% back in rewards on your color printing right now at Staples,
where there's a whole lot in store. And 6/22/19 in store only. Exclusions apply. See staples.com/20. Back for details.
This is Warn Radio, Remnant Battle Lines for the end time Christian believer. Greetings, this is the Watchman, Dana Smith. This show is part headline news, prophecy, biblical commentary, guest interviews, and special presentations. Join us today as we enter into the lines of the remnant and the battle before us. This is the end of days. Darkness is all around, but victory is assured in Jesus Christ, and we are the remnant. And through faith in the promises and a God who will not fail, we shall overcome. Greetings.
Greetings and welcome to Wednesday's Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on our Prophecy News Hour, we have the cost in blood and lives from persecutions of Christians in a blight on humanity, not to mention the blood lost of Yazidi lives and minority Muslims. We'll be looking at the cost of lives in the Middle East, Christians, and their faith in America to help their plight. We will discuss situations of Yazidis still missing from the Syrian-Iraq war. We will look at Franklin Graham's stand to help a banned Christian student group. Then we will look at the 2nd of January's We will look at the 2nd of January's 2018 supermoons. This time it is a super blue blood moon. We'll also look at the border with Turkey and Syria, along with the Syrian forces backed by the U.S., which was set up. We will discuss this and more as we have time. You can go to warn-usa.com or Dana Glenn Smith to read the latest articles by The Watchman. Father, call no man your father. This has been the blight of the church and its leadership in every generation. These words were addressed to the disciples and the crowds that had gathered around. And no classification, conspiracy behind the conspiracies. Everyone knows about the Illuminati, but this project is so secret there is no classification for it. In this, the winner takes all. Yep. Every last piece of dirt we call America. Don't miss this one. Read it and share. And you can go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read those and catch the latest shows. And also, you can get the links to our podcast. And you can check out the blog. You can go to facebook.com/Warn Radio to find us on Facebook, and catch us on Twitter at WatchmanIS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS underscore Watchman. I might have said that wrong. Hashtag WatchmanIS216. Okay, now I welcome in the Watchman for our Sound Wednesday Remnant Battle Lines Prophecy News Hour. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. Even though I got the car stuck today.
Yeah, well,
Dana had to dig me out.
I did. And we had the help of a neighbor lady, so that was good.
Yes, it was.
And, well, at any rate, around here, a lot of wind. We get a lot of wind anyway, and it's been cold. We've had a ton of snow. And so here down by the river, the snow just doesn't get picked up, and the city doesn't get to it. The people that own the land where we're on, they don't ever clean up anything. So we're all left going
in
through
for ourselves.
It's really a pain. Because, you know, I guess I'm going to have to buy me a tractor and then I can go through and do it for them.
Yeah, for everybody. Yeah, that would be a nice benefit.
But at any rate.
Hey, before we go on, I want to make a correction because I was under the impression that the 2018 Winter Olympics were being held in North Korea. But I stand corrected. They are in South Korea and I'm not even sure how to say it, Pyeongchang?
Pyongyang.
Oh, okay. Well, so I want to apologize to everybody for misleading them. It is going to be in South Korea, not North Korea.
I haven't followed it either, but it is in South Korea. And I did see where they were talking about it being there. At least that's what I was looking at. And I don't know
why I got North Korea, but anyway, I'm glad I found out that it's South Korea.
Well, we were talking about boycotting it, and I still think we need to boycott it because North Korea is involved. North Korea should not be involved in this.
Last week I heard that North Korea and South Korea were going to go together under one flag, and I don't know if that's still the case or not. I know that wasn't making some people very happy.
That's right. That's exactly what they're doing. And not only are they doing that, Kim Jong-un called for the first, I think this is a first for him, a nationwide broadcast calling for unity and unification of the Koreas.
Wow.
So they're talking and they want to unite them. But we're really looking at a good war here because the only way North Korea will join with South Korea, that is if they can have South Korea like North Korea. So this thing is not at all good for South Korea.
No, that would be horrible.
So, and it wouldn't be good for our being an ally with them either. So, I mean, the whole thing is a pain. But whatever, you know, there's a lot of things that going on that you're not going to be able to control.
That's for sure.
Christianity Today reported, for the third year in a row, the modern persecution of Christians worldwide has hit another record high.
Oh, my goodness.
Fox News quoted him saying nearly 1 in 12 Christians across the globe lives in an area where there is a high level of persecution against members of the religion. And so there are a number of people that are following this. And, you know, make no mistake about it, the prophecy, you know, when we looked at 2014, 2015, it really picked up. Then you had 2016, and that's when the Blood Moon and the ISIS was actually waning down, but there's still persecution for Christians around the world like never before. And then 2017 hit, and we continued to report on persecution around the world in many areas. And then we're at 2018, and of course we covered last week the 2018 report. And so at any rate, it's just, you know, not going to go away anytime soon. The Gatestone Institute is reporting that Christians, members of the largest religion in the world, have become the most persecuted faith group, but they lack a political voice. The White House urgently needs to develop a clear vision of how to help Christianity survive, let alone thrive, in its homeland. At the moment, there seems to be no foreign policy based on this vision. And, you know, that's coming out of the Gatestone Institute. And, of course, they talk about a lot of things. But, see, the thing of it is here is that we've had a president by the name of Obama in there for 8 years who did not really do too much to protect the, you know, or take the side of Christians. And he also didn't take the side of Israel. And so for all intents and purposes, you know, there's, you know, he was definitely pro-Arab and pro-Muslim. And,
He was.
Gatestone Institute is another one that has joined not just us as a voice, but many others. And Gatestone, you know, has their own voice. They don't need to join us, but we're agreeing on something. We've been talking about this for a long time. But they said Christianity in biblically historical lands like Iraq and Syria and Turkey will be clinically dead before the year 2030. And, of course, now in Turkey, Erdogan is advancing across the border. He's been bombing the Kurds. Now, Tara Tower, these are the very same Kurds that were fighting ISIS.
Yep, I remember.
And so he swore that it's not going to take very long. They're going to kill as many of them as they can. They want to wipe them out. They want to get them away from the border. They don't like them, don't want them there. So this,
I've been praying that God would intervene in their behalf and give them land to stop that.
And, you know, let me see. I think we've got something later on that we can talk about that. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, with according to Turkey anyway, Russia has already given them the go-ahead, and America also gave them a nod. That's what they're saying. Now, I don't know whether they did or not, but, you know, this thing is not looking good, and the Kurds, of course, are no lax group, and America did supply them with a lot of weapons, and that's another thing Turkey didn't like. We supplied them with I think it was money and weapons, but we did supply them some stuff because Erdogan came out, Turkey came out and was talking about it. They weren't very happy about it. So, you know, if we look at Turkey, Turkey is one that we're really watching about like we've been watching Iran. We're watching Turkey. Now, for years and years, we were watching Syria and Assad. You know, Assad, remember when he brought down the plane over Scotland? Many years ago, there was a lot of jihadis. And remember when, I think it was Reagan who sent a targeted plane and blew up his palace and killed one of Assad's kids. So Assad ended up, he did end up renouncing some of that terror and said he wasn't going to do it. Right now, Syria's not one big on the world stage, but Syria's trying to win back every scrap of land that ISIS took, so there's still pockets of ISIS in Syria. Christians are still threatened. Yazidis, they're still missing. We're going to talk about that in a bit. So although we don't see much going on, there is a lot going on there. Russia and Turkey are mopping up. ISIS is still there in pockets. Christians are still threatened. Yazidis are still missing these women that they took. And I don't know how many Christian women are missing, but ISIS took a whole pile of all these gals. And so at the same time, you've got Russia telling Erdogan it's okay to go into Syria and attack. Assad is against it, however, but Russia, who is the power broker there in Syria, told him, according to Turkey, to go ahead. And America, according to Turkey, agreed that it was okay. However, they were mad at America for backing the Kurds and giving them weapons and stuff. So it's not going to be an easy deal, but
no. This,
but see, Erdogan has a modern equipped Air Force, and they've got a Navy, and they've got an Army. I mean, they're modern. You know, they have money and everything. So the only thing it looks like is that if Erdogan goes in there and the Kurds cry for help, there could be other Kurds come to the rescue and cause real trouble in Turkey. That's where they're going to have to go in order to keep them out of there. So I don't know. It doesn't look good. And, you know, the thing of it is these Kurds, make no mistake about it, they're not like a lot of other Muslims. These Kurds, and I read, when I was following this in 2014, 2015, they had a certain thing that they agreed to, that they wanted to do. They wanted to provide a place to live for not just the Kurds, but for Christians, other Muslims, and Yazidis to live and live together without any problem in this separate state that the Kurds wanted. And the Kurds in Iraq have been protecting Christians and Yazidis too. So if you look at this whole thing, you know, the Kurds, when they were fighting ISIS, actually had help from even Americans and many others that and Christians that fought alongside of them. So this is not a good thing in all way at all. And so at any rate, now let's see, another thing too, we had talked about this before the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. There were almost 1.5 million Christians. Gatestone reports it as 1.4 million. It was 5.4% of the overall population of 26 million that were in Iraq. 15 years later, after the wars and everything else, there's less than 250,000 Christians in Iraq right now, a drop of 82%, and now they represent under 1%, actually under 0.75% of Iraq's general population. And so Christians are about extinct in Iraq. And so it's just, and of course nobody did anything. Nobody seemed to care. And this was the irritating thing. You know, Tower, is you and I both watched how, as did many others, how Obama allowed in more Muslim refugees from Syria than Christians.
That was very disturbing.
And remember the year that he only allowed in 67 Christians while there was just a flood more Muslim? And they were from Syria.
Yes. Not a friendly country to America.
Well, you know, and that was the way it went under Bush. I mean, under Obama. So, you know, I don't know. Now, according to Gatestone, they said that Trump is the one that put the end of Bush and Obama's policies in the region. The covert CIA program that Obama used to arm the Muslim moderates that backfired, that's how ISIS got all their weapons and stuff like that. Trump ended that. And Trump spoke out against radical Islamic terrorism, which Obama didn't. He did that in his first address to Congress. And he visited the heart of the Muslim world in Riyadh. And he urged leaders of Islamic states to drive out the terrorists from your places of worship. And they also said that he contributed to the defeat of ISIS in Iraq and Syria. Now, that's what Gatestone. Now, Gatestone Institute, you know, has a lot of Muslim moderates that write for him. They're all for democracy. They are absolutely against ISIS and any other form of Islamic jihad that would take over the world like that. But, you know, yet there's others than just Muslims that write for the Gatestone Institute. But the whole thing of it is that, you know, if you get the liberal news, they blame him for everything. Don Lemon was, there was an article today where he said, well, we might as well blame Trump, because he's the reason that this lone gunman, you know, there in Vegas killed everybody. Of course, he's following the line that was first given, that this moron acted individually. But there's other evidence that says in Vegas he was not the only one there to do this, that he did have help. And today there was another big article saying that Las Vegas is warning that ISIS threat is pushing to have more attacks in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah. So I remember that old thing, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it may not be a good place to go, and especially this attack, it just didn't go over very well as far as giving us the truth. And how this guy was able to kill so many from where he was at, and why he didn't get discovered with all of his weapons and bullets is just beyond me. There was some collusion there somewhere. Something is not right. You know, the people, of course, you don't get anything. You know, we still don't know. We have, you know, of course, people like InfoWars who have all these different ideas and conspiracies, and people that are saying, well, this happened, that happened, but there's no proof that's been released that, you know, on a nationwide basis that tells us anything about Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Now, also, we talked about the open doors thing last week, and in the 2018 watch list that ranks the world's 50 worst nations, there's 215 million Christians are experiencing high levels of persecution.
That's just astronomical to me. That is just wrong.
And so I've got that here. You see that top 10 nation for persecuted? I wanted to kind of go through a couple of those. Of course, we did talk about one and two. The first one is North Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And pressure against Christians at the highest level. The primary driver of persecution is the state. For three generations, everything in the country. Now, if you take 70 years as a generation, you know, that's a long time. I don't know how long they're figuring the generations here, but it's been a long time. And then Afghanistan, they're number two, but as far as points, the point difference according to Open Doors was just 1 point. So for all intents and purposes, North Korea and Afghanistan tied for number one.
Yeah.
And Afghanistan is an Islamic state by constitution. And the government officials, ethnic group leaders, and religious officials and citizens are hostile towards adherents of any other religions. And all Christians in Afghanistan are essentially converts. They are unable to express their faith even in private. Converts can experience loss of personal property, businesses, beanings, and even death at the hands of their own family members and communities. So many of the Christians in Afghanistan stay quiet because you get killed if you don't.
Yeah.
So that's basically one and two. So do you want to read three and four, just a couple of little, highlights of them?
Somalia is number three, and they say no room for Christianity. Islam is a state religion, and society expects all Somalis to be Muslim. Imams in mosques and madrasas, as well as leaders of Al-Shabaab, state publicly that there is no room for Christians in the country. There are no safe places for the Christians to practice their faith in Somalia, and it's a very violent country where believers face horrific challenges, but Christians still choose to follow Jesus, knowing these dangers. And number four is Sudan. It's one religion, one culture. And the persecution comes from the government and radical Muslims. It's systematic and reminiscent of ethnic cleansing. And under the authoritarian rule of President al-Bashar and his party, there's no rule of law in Sudan. The media and press are restrictive, and freedom of expression has been highly curtailed. And historically, Islam is deeply embedded in Sudan society, and the government strictly implements the policy of one religion, one culture, and one language.
And of course, Sudan and Somalia, both, we've talked about both of those as far as being persecution going on, and it just ongoing. And yet they're still like open doors. You know, they're, you know, these organizations located in America and also the UK predominantly, you know, they manage somehow, Tower, to get people into those countries.
And yeah, it's unbelievable.
And most of them are working almost, probably almost all the time in these closed countries. It's entirely the native church there, the people that live there. Pakistan is number five. There's a little under 4 million Christians in Pakistan, but we also spend a lot of time reporting on that because it is very, very dangerous in Pakistan. Much of the Christian persecution there comes from radical Islamic groups, but we've also, now it says that flourish under the favor of political parties, the army, and the government. There's thousands of these Islamic education centers and radical Islamic groups, and the youth are taught and encouraged to persecute religious minorities. And, of course, the main sources, again, is from their own families, which comes straight out of Scripture. The Lord said those, you know, your enemy will be those of your own household. We see that really in Christian Christians who have converted from other Islam, and they live in societies like this in Pakistan. We've seen it and reported on it many times, Christians that are killed and murdered, thrown in the brick kiln there, and they get groups, radical groups, out of the mosques and other places there where an imam actually, he can say virtually anything about Christians, and Christians wind up dead. And we have reported on this time and time again. Innocent, totally innocent, and they wind up dead. And so this is Pakistan. And Pakistan, you know, we've had Obama and others who actually pushed money to help this, to give this country. During the war with Afghanistan, you know, we worked to use part of our stuff through them. But I'm telling you, it's such a pain. We should not be giving any of these countries any money if they're persecuting Christians or any other group. That's just all there is to it, and that's persecution in any of these countries. They don't need a dime from us if we're going to do that, if they're going to do that. Eritrea, and we haven't we've had a few things from them, but basically they have about 2,700,000 and such. It's a authoritarian type of society. You know, you have the president and whatever he says, that's it. The government and the cultural climate contribute to the persecution of Christians. This country is located in the Horn of Africa, and of course, when I talk about authoritarianism, it's absolute. I mean, you just, whatever they say. The arrest, harassment, murder of Christians accused of being agents of the West is commonplace. And at the same time, Muslims, who make up roughly half the population, are becoming more radicalized, resulting in increased vulnerability for Christians living in their vicinity. So this is just another place. And you could really say that the way we see this world today, we are really living in the end of days. We are in that time when the deception, Paul talks about the deception, 2 Thessalonians 2, where they're going to leave off the love of the truth, which is the gospel and all that it entails, and they're going to follow a lie. And we see that worldwide. We see the increase of throwing out Christianity. And so it's just absolutely...
See it in America.
Yeah, we could. And do you want to do the next two? Libya.
Well, Libya is number 7. It has a small amount of Christians compared to the others, 41,000. The population is 6 million. And anarchy provides impunity for Islamic Muslims. Militants. Christians in this country are a small minority. A state of anarchy and civil war results in impunity for Islamic militants and organized criminal groups engaged in the persecution of Christians. Libyan believers from Muslim backgrounds face violent and intense persecution, constantly pressured by their families and the community to renounce their faith. Christ followers who publicly express their faith face the risk of arrest and violence as well, and probably death. Number 8 is Iraq. They have 258,000 Christians and 38,600,000 people, and Islamic extremism in society and family life in Iraq. Numerous groups contribute to the persecution of Christians. Radical movements such as ISIS often target Christians and other religious minorities for kidnappings and killings. Government, both national and local, have threatened Christians, encouraging them to leave the country. Christians from Muslim backgrounds face serious pressure from their clans, families, and communities, who will sometimes go as far as to try to kill them. Okay.
Well, you know, we were talking about this in Afghanistan. And we were talking about Iraq, rather. And that's where they lost so many of them. They only have 258,000 left.
Right.
You know, they were, during Saddam time, they had a lot of Christians, ancient. You know, they'd been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Now, number 9 is Yemen. And, of course, Yemen's been at a war. You know, there's just a few thousand. I don't know if anybody knows how many. No, it's not Yemen that's been in war. It's Sudan, because they've had northern Sudan and southern Sudan. It was divided, yeah. And then they continued to have problems in the south. So I don't know what the story is in Sudan as far as the two nations are anymore. But that's one of the things. Yemen has also had a lot of problems in this. Government officials create and maintain strict Islamic system. It treats all nationals as Muslims. The Saudi-led military intervention has created power vacuums, and this is where Saudi Arabia went into, allowing groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda affiliates to expand their operations and kill Christians. Converts from Islam to Christianity suffer from violence and pressure from their family as well as tribal leaders if their new faith is discovered. You know, and that goes without saying, Tower. I mean, we see this all over the globe. We see it everywhere. That's the way it is. And then in Iran, it says that there's 800,000. I thought there was more than that. Of course, that's a theocracy underneath Ayatollah Khomeini, Ali Khomeini. Now, of course, he's not the original one, I don't think, that went over there. I think the other guy died, and this is just another Khomeini. But at any rate, The main threat for Christian comes from the government in Iran. The Iranian regime defines Iran as an Islamic state based on Shia Islam. Christians and other minorities are seen as unwelcome distraction from this plan. Although some reports mention pressure from families and communities on converts from Islam to Christianity, Iranian society is much less frantic than their leadership. And, you know, and we've seen that the people themselves, there's a lot of young people in Iran, and they don't really like the way the Iranian regime is going. So there has been some protests there of late. And so, I mean, we'll find out. International Christian Concern is reporting again on in Egypt on January 20th. A Christian man and his wife were thrown out of a village. You know, they just get to the point they don't like and just throw you out, you know, and that means you can't take anything with you. You have to leave your house. We saw this in Iraq and Syria both. Yeah. When the Christians were forced out, the Yazidis, the Muslims that came in actually took all the property. So they got free property, money and wealth, whatever was there, they took. This is really one of those things. And a rumor circulated that a Christian blacksmith attempted to assault a Muslim woman. Now, see, this is typical.
Now, yeah, it is.
This is a rumor.
Yeah, they don't even check it out to see if it's true or not. They just go with it.
Yeah, remember the gal from Pakistan who's still in prison?
Asa Bibi,
yeah. And she had four women that got mad at her, Muslim women, because she drank out of a fountain that they were using. So they accused her of blaspheming Allah, yeah. And she was taken to court. She was found guilty, thrown in prison, and then, I don't know, where she's at now and all that. She didn't get killed. They had a few changes in that, so she's just in jail now, so I don't know what's going on. But that's a typical case. She was happily married. She had kids and everything, and she's been behind bars just because of...
For like 5 or 6 years now?
Yeah, long time. And so we see this time and time again. And this is what happened during the time of the... persecution of Christians during the Roman Empire. We've seen this as well, because it was blame the Christian time. So this is nothing new. This is a typical tactic of the devil, and these Muslims are using devil tactics. And of course, two separate mob attacks. They just use it. So you have a Christian blacksmith. They said, well, he assaulted a Muslim woman, so they had a whole bunch of mob and they attacked Christian villages. And then they had a reconciliation session, which fined the guy $2,800 United States dollars. And,
oh my
and
goodness.
Him and his
That's
wife were forced from the village. So he didn't get anywhere with that. And then he went to seek payment for blacksmith services from another Muslim who refused to pay him. And accused Awad of misconduct against his wife, and so the Muslims formed a mob again and attacked three Coptic-owned homes. You get the idea. This is what they're facing. So if you're living in America, if you're in Australia, if you're in the UK, or any number of free countries where you have a Christian majority here, and like in America, and this is what's going on with your brothers and sisters, and it behooves you to pray for them. It behooves you to use monetary, financial support to support organizations that are helping them directly. If these people don't get help from us, Christian brothers and sisters, who's going to help them? I dare you tell me who's going to help them if we don't help them. And I know that there are people that listen to this, and they've told me that they do help out, and that's good. And so if you are already helping out, don't feel guilty, you know. Just do what you can do. But you got to do something to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's why we go over these. And as far as I'm concerned, covering brothers and sisters in Christ is 150% more important than the trash news that I have to go through in order to find it. And I've got some of that. I weed out a lot of it anymore because I frankly am so sick of the junk going on. Unless it's really, really important, I will report on major, major things concerning Russia, the USA, and like Turkey today, Israel, and things like that. But I'm not going to report on this stupid, idiotic, anti-Trump fodder that's coming out of these morons all over America. You want to read that trash? Help yourself. And there's no way that I'm going to report on some idiot actor or idiot politician who is anti-Trump, like Waters, who sounds like a woman possessed and needs to be delivered. And I'm not going to report on that. You want to read what that moron has to say? You go and you find it yourself, because I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you the most important thing and the most important thing in your life, and that is knowing Jesus Christ, and he will lead you directly to the Father and also your brothers and sisters in Christ. We are of the same body, and the Lord has united us, and there's no reason for you to ignore them. It's a sin against them. It's a sin against God if you ignore your brothers and sisters in Christ, because when you pray for them and you give of your finances and you're living over here, that is fulfilling the love commandment. By this shall you know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. And the fact of it is, America has been known for since its inception as a Judeo-Christian nation. And you would think this nation would lead the world in standing up for Christians, that we would lead the world in finding a solution to the persecution of Christians. But under Obama, for 8 years, we were last. We did not do anything thanks to Obama and his Islamic and Arab leanings. Now, I'm not against, I'm not against groups and I'm not against people, but I'm against you who take this country and tell us we can't stand up for Christianity or Christ. And I can tell you that there were Christians here long before the rest of you were. And of course, you know, when you go all the way back, even to the Indians that you say are native, even they fought one another and took each other's land. So don't give me a bunch of your baloney. I'm not ready to hear it. I'm not going to hear it. I'm here to tell you about Christianity. I'm here to tell you the important parts that we need to cover. And I hope to God that you hear them, that you help them, and you pray for them. And make no mistake, folks, as we continue to go down this road toward the end of days, even more than we are at now, there's no way you're going to stop it. It's going to come to America. It's going to come to the UK. It's going to come to every nation on earth. All nations are going to be shaken. Make no mistake. So you had better get your roots down. You had better understand that if Americans ever had to flee their country like the Syrians did, you had better hope to God somebody's going to be willing to take you. But
and
I got
pray for you.
Yeah, and pray for you and help you. But see, the way it goes, see, Obama took people, but he took mostly, almost exclusively, Muslims. And that is a fact. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk about, there's a group, Business Leaders in Christ. The University of Iowa revoked the operating license of a student Christian group because of its rule requiring leaders to affirm a statement of faith and upholding biblical standards. Now, we've talked about this years and years ago. When homosexuality and other deviant lifestyles, and it's a deviant lifestyle, and it's not biblical, it's not foundational to biblical Christianity or even to the human genome, because there's no way Adam and Steve would have ever gotten this world populated, or and Debbie. It was a male and a female, God-given, God-created, and they procreated. Now, whether you like that or not, that's not my problem, but that's the way it is. And we saw this coming back way back, folks. Back in the 80s, back in the 70s, we knew that this is what would happen. When you have a godly pastor and a godly group of people in that, and they're standing up for biblical values, they have every right to require a leader to stand up with biblical values that is
that's
not
right.
against them. And if you don't like it, that's just too bad. That is the way it is. That's the way it's to be. Now, of course, Christians who take a stand face some tough battles, according to Graham, who said in a Facebook post, a Christian student group called Business Leaders in Christ at the University of Iowa lost their license to operate, as well as their activity fee funding. They can't even reserve campus meeting space, all because the group denied a leadership position to a gay student and he filed a complaint. The school said they were discriminating. The group said that anyone can become a member, but leaders must affirm a statement of faith that upholds God's standards, and the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin. I'm proud of these courageous young people for being faithful to biblical truth. Pray for them as they have challenged the school's religious discrimination with legal action. Now, see, that is Graham's statement on this. Now, you know, the whole issue, when we really, get in the midst of this, is the fact that, when we talk about, you're discriminating against, gay and lesbians and all these other groups. See, the same token, you're discriminating against Christians as well. By not allowing a Christian group to stand up and do what they're doing, you're discriminating against them.
And well, one thing I want to put in here is that all clubs have rules and regulations to follow.
Good point.
And if you're not going to follow them, they're not going to let you be a leader in their club.
Yeah, and why have rules if, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we also talked about the super blue moon. It's going to be appear for the first time in 150 years. The first super moon of 2018 was called the Wolf Moon on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2018. Now, the super blue moon is on January 31st, 2018. And I think that's
next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that the first day of January was a super moon called the Wolf Moon, and the last day of January is a super blood blue moon on January 31st. So they're both super signs that, and this hasn't happened, 150 years, the super blue blood moon. And of course, it's not really blue, but it's just the way it looks on there.
Huh. That's so interesting. And it's incredibly rare, they say.
Yeah. And they said in this, it's going to be safe to look at, but it's going to be hard to see. It's not going to be all over the United States like the others. So if you want to look at it, you're going to have to, if you live in the UK and much of the Americas and most of Africa, it says that no misfortune will befall you, as you're not going to be able to see this stunning and rare event. If you live, however, in the southern hemisphere, because of this time of year, that's one of the reasons you're not going to see it. The sun is, and everything's low in the sky. You have Australia, New Zealand, and much of Eastern Asia. If they have no cloud cover and good weather conditions, they'll be able to see it. And it'll be a full moon, it'll be a super moon, a blood moon, and a blue moon. And So it's interesting.
Yes. Wonder what all that means.
Well, the blood moon refers to the total lunar eclipse, and the moon is tinged with red light because of the way light shines through the Earth's atmosphere. A supermoon is a full moon that coincides with the closest distance it reaches to Earth during its orbit because it really looks big. And a blue moon is used to describe the second full moon within the same calendar month. So this is a blue moon because we had a full moon on January 1st. Now, January 30th is another one, and so they call it a blue moon. And it's not blue, but you have the idiom, according to them. They say once in a blue moon, that's where this comes from, because you don't have, in other words, it's not going to happen all the time, but once in a blue moon, And so, she might say, well, I'll kiss you once in a blue moon. So in other words, she's not going to kiss you very much. Once in a blue moon, whenever you get two full moons on the same month, you'll get a kiss on that, towards the end of the month. I mean, that's how that goes. And so, at any rate, a lot of stuff happening. Let's see, what else we wanted to cover here? I do want to touch on this. Pence was in Israel. Of course, they had some protests going on. John Kerry, we don't have this down here, but John Kerry came out and he was talking to the Palestinians and the others and the Arabs and said, don't give in to Trump.
Really?
Yeah, he was taking
That's
the opposite.
Horrible.
Well, he's a liberal from the word go. But at any rate, Pence, who went over to actually speak in the Knesset over there, was going to tell him that they're going to open the embassy in Jerusalem. Now, they're still going to keep a main part of the embassy where it's at in Tel Aviv because it's too hard to get everything to move. But they are going to have a smaller one there that they have a current thing there that they can use. So they're going to use that. So they are going to move it just to say, well, we've moved and we've made the first step. But there was some in the Knesset itself. There was, of course, they do have Arabs in the Knesset. So you do have some of those that were opposed to what America did. And so that he did get some protests and things like that. But other than that, Israel, for the most part, especially Netanyahu, were absolutely, absolutely thrilled that Trump did this. And according to Pence, he said, just last month, President Donald Trump made history. He righted a 70-year wrong. He kept his promise to the American people in announcing the recognition of Israel's capital. And Pence, who is the first American vice president to address Israel's parliament. The U.S. embassy will open in Jerusalem before the end of next year, he said.
That's good. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. And that's prophetic, too. Absolutely. And so, and of course, I wanted to say this, that, the U.S.-led coalition builds a new Syrian force. Now, this is in the Kurdish territory next to the border with Syria. That's what they want. That's Rojava. I've written on it. But at any rate, it's a border security force, and that's the one that Erdogan's trying to get rid of. And America, was working to get them all set up. And so, from the beginning, dealing with this back in 2014, 2015, as soon as I found out about Kobani, I started reporting on it every day. We put a lot of news out on this, and I got to understand the all the various portions of the Kurds and Kobani and their forces and stuff. And, the thing of it is that they fought real hard, and then America, began to back them. And then today, you know, they're helping them to set up this thing. And it's not a big security force, just 15,000 members. But, you know, when you come to talk about it, see, our force in Syria is only about 2,000. And that 2,000 is to help get everything set up so these people can have it. And I don't see why they can't just let this guy. But see, from the beginning, Erdogan's been against the Kurds. Even when ISIS first attacked Kobani and the Kurds, he had a full regiment. I mean, he had tanks and everything overlooking the hill, looking down into Kobani, waiting for the fall of Kobani. Kobani never fell. And matter of fact, there was people in Turkey that was actually supplying ISIS with weapons and everything else, and as well as men went across. And so Erdogan was kind of a shady dealer then, and he was part of NATO then. So he's still part of NATO. He's still, this guy can't be trusted. Erdogan is not a friend of NATO, and he's not a friend of America, and he definitely isn't a friend of the Kurds. And these Kurds are the only force that defeated ISIS, and these people should have their own state, whether you like it or not, America, and whether you like it or not, Russia, or whether you like it or not, Syria, or whether you like it or not, Turkey. But see, that's politics. That's the way it is. So at any rate, we'll see. You know, when it comes to minorities, people don't care. Whether it's the Kurds, Christians, minority Muslims, you know, the Yazidis, you know. And of course, over the years, we've seen a lot of different genocides. And it's just one of those things. So at any rate, we're coming down. Do you got any anything you want to add here?
No. Just be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar. I mean, Thursday night, Battle Lines.
Did you tell them what we're doing tomorrow night and Friday? You got a minute or so?
No.
Do you got it handy there?
On tomorrow night on Battle Lines, Presence of Hope Part 4. And on Friday, on Sound the Shofar, our study will be, I don't know, I don't have it handy, I guess. Saints of God Walking in the Light, Part 1. That sounds exciting.
Well, folks, we're glad you joined us. We talked about a lot of important issues, and we thank you for listening.
Yes.
Take it easy.
Thank you for joining us.
Look,
I forgot to give the readings in the Word.
Okay, go ahead.
Exodus chapter 13, starting at verse 17, through chapter 17, verse 16. Judges chapter 4, verse 4, through chapter 5, verse 31. And the New Testament portion is Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 75. And I want to thank you for joining us whenever you do. And we'll see you tomorrow night. God bless you. And
yes. So long, everybody.
Thank you for all you do.
Yep. Shalom. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman. And for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.
Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 410. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 417. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only. Lowe's knows you're the pro who does it right to find more ways to save because your business depends on it. We do it right, too, with savings every day, plus even more deals during our Spring Black Friday sale. Get $40 off 5-gallon buckets of select paint and stains via Lowe's gift card rebate. Buy three or more Purdy brushes and get 15% instant savings. And get up to 35% off select appliance special values. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Paint and stain offer valid through 4/10. Purdy and appliance offers valid through 4/17. Exclusions apply. See store for details. U.S. only.